It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country. Dan Berger back, of course, and our friend Don Chigazola is back with us. Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks. Always good to be here. And I'm very excited today because I recently returned from a trip to Italy, and I've brought with you some new wines that I recently discovered there that are fantastic wines from Italy's Marche region.
Okay, and where is that region?
The Marche, central Adriatic coast of Italy.
Okay.
Directly east of Rome, but on the Adriatic, on the other side of the Apennines Mountains.
Yeah, okay.
Fabulous wine-growing region, especially for whites.
Really? And we were, and Dan's going to bring this up in a few moments about Italian whites, but Don, explain to everyone what it is you do.
What it is I do? I've
besides go to Italy, you lucky.
I am. I pinch myself every day. So I drive the back roads of Italy looking for native Italian varietal wines from small family producers with a deep heritage in winemaking. And I bring those back over here and share them with the good people of definitely Sonoma County and actually all over California and other states.
What's the website?
ChigazolaMerchants.com.
That's right.
And anybody in a state that is permitted to purchase wine online can do so from my website. I currently ship to most states here in the U.S. And they even offer a wine club. So if anybody is interested in learning about Italian wines, every quarter they could have Italian native varietals delivered to their door, and they could begin their education about Italian wines.
Besides the fact that you're obviously Italian, what, I mean, it's such a brilliant idea, you know, for someone in our wine country, and you get a chance to go to Italy all the time. So, I mean, I guess that was going to be a dumb question.
Yes, no,
why
do I do it? And, it works for me. You know, I spent my entire career in the corporate world, and it was a great ride. I enjoyed it tremendously. Worked for a lot of the big tech companies here in the area. But what I tell folks is that that career fed my family, and what I do now feeds my soul.
Right on. Right on. ChigazolaMerchants.com. Dan, talk about Italian whites. You were getting started there off air, but explain the situation with Italian whites.
The culture of Italy is built around several things, olive oil, pasta, tomatoes, and so forth. But when you think about Italy and its wines, you think of red. You don't think of white.
Of course.
And the fact is that they've been making white for a long, long time, but they just never exported it. And the reason...
And why is that?
Well, part of it was the fact that it wasn't all that great, and it didn't ship all that well. When you pick up a bottle of wine from Tuscany, it was a red wine. It was a Sangiovese-based, it was Chianti, something like that.
In the fiasco, yes.
the straw-covered bottle.
Yeah.
But it was
they
always...
They call that a fiasco?
Yeah.
I've forgotten
that. The name of the bottle, yes.
Yeah.
It was the fiasco.
Straw-covered bottle's a fiasco.
And that's what people thought Chianti was.
Here's a trivia question, Don. What's the plural of fiasco?
Fiaschi?
Oh, fiaschi.
Yeah.
Two of them. Nobody wants more than one. Interestingly enough, though...
white wines are so popular here and other places.
Oh, they're popular from Italy now.
Okay.
But it's only been roughly 30 years since we've actually seen any Italian white wine. And the reason is there wasn't much stainless steel coming into the country. The Italians just loved their stainless, their vats that were made of concrete. And concrete vats is what they fermented in. And you don't have any control over temperature. So your white wine never really retained so much of that freshness that was going to make the wine so interesting. This first wine we have called Tenuto del Ugolino, very simple thing to say if you practice.
Tenuto del Ugolino. It's actually Verdicchio is the grape.
Verdicchio. Oh, Verdicchio, because I eat Verdicchio.
No. Verdicchio comes from verde, green, because the grape skins are extremely green. And, in fact, this wine has just a green hint around of hues around the rim, too. So, Verdicchio.
But this wine would probably have been made 150 years ago, but it was never sold outside the district. And when they finally started getting a handle on temperature-controlled stainless steel tanks, they realized that they had a tiger by the tail. This is really hot stuff. In Italy, this is considered to be the most popular white wine in all of Italy, and it's highly sought. It sells fast as soon as it's released. This one is a 2018, but there's a 17 in the next bottle over, and this is a fabulous wine. I mean, you have to understand that there's no such thing as Chardonnay to speak of in Italy.
Yeah.
So Verdicchio becomes your sort of go-to high-quality stuff.
And, Steve, I found this father-son team in a little town called Castelpliano. They're about 22 kilometers west of Ancona in the Marche region, right there on the Adriatic. The winemaker is Andrea Petrini, and he works with his stepson, Matteo, and they produce two Verdicchios. The first one that we're enjoying here is called Le Paioli, which refers to the roads that connected the high vineyards where these vineyards are located. They're at about 400 meters, which is about 1,200 feet, so you get really cold nights, very warm days.
Yeah.
Excellent for this particular varietal.
And this wine doesn't require any oak aging. Basically, I mean, you can put it in oak. It changes the character a little bit, but basically this is a very fresh, light, fruity wine. It smells a little bit like somebody put in an aromatic variety into it, like Pinot Gris or something. But the wine is 100% Verdicchio, and it's delicious. It's just beautiful wine. It's not real expensive. It's $22 a bottle retail, and it's an absolutely stunning wine for sipping on a patio or serving with some smoked salmon or smoked trout.
You mentioned Matteo. Was he ever in the studio with us?
Different Matteo.
Okay.
This Matteo has not been in the studio yet, but I'm hoping to get him over here. And when I do, I'll definitely bring him by to see you.
Cool.
He's a fabulous winemaker and has just done an exceptional job with these wines. When you meet him, you could tell his passion is all about his wines.
I'm a big fan of Italian white wines, but only in the last decade. Because I'm still learning about them. I mean, you don't see very much of them. We got a couple here from grape varieties that I never even heard of before we walked in the studio. A wine called Passerina from a grape variety called Passerina, and another wine. Look at that label, Steve. Pecorino. You
Pecorino.
Think it's not cheese? It's a grape variety.
It is
variety.
Not sheep's cheese.
Wow.
So this is new to me, and I'm getting real excited about it because these are wonderful wines. And the nice part about it is they all work with food. They're designed to go with food.
Well, it's Italy.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of Italian white wines, most of which we have never heard of in this country. But that's my mission, is to let everybody learn about these wines.
And bless your mission, my friend. I asked about Prosecco before we got on the air. Talk about that. I've never been a fan because everyone I've tasted here is too sweet.
There's a lot of Prosecco that makes it over here. But Prosecco is a fairly large district within the Veneto region. And the grape with Prosecco is called Glera. And there is, like I said, Glera over a very wide geographic range. Under different climates. If you want to taste the finest Proseccos, it needs to be DOCG from Valdo Biadene, which is a sub-appellation of the Prosecco district. So that's what you'd want to look for, is a DOCG from Valdo Biadene.
And available here?
There are several that are from Valdo Biadene. I can't even pronounce it. When you see a designation that's impossible to pronounce, that's definitely something to go after.
I have a wonderful producer, Paolo Zacchetto, would love to share it with you.
And Prosecco is basically supposed to be the less expensive alternative to sparkling wines from France, such as, for example, Champagne. When years and years ago, the alternative was Cava from Spain.
Yeah.
And then Cava was never made from traditional grape varieties. It was always made from grape varieties that were essentially Spanish varieties. And when the Italians realized they could make Prosecco to be a competitor, they began making it. And some of the larger producers just used very quick, fast techniques, and the wine just wasn't that great. Some of the ones, the smaller producers, like what Don's carrying, those are really high quality and dry.
Again, it's ChigazolaMerchants.com. Don specializes in Italian wines, although on his website he misspelled my name today. It's J-A-X-O-N. It's not like Michael
it's
Jackson.
It's misspelled on my website right there?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, well. Steve.
I don't care.
Well, I had it spelled right, but after you mispronounced my name the last time I was here, well, I went back and, this is payback.
That's when I was saying Dan instead of Don.
Or David or something like that. As I was driving over Italian guests to be on your show and I was telling them how well you know me.
Yeah, Dave Chigazzilli is here. Okay, so these are all now available on your website?
On my website. These are brand new. They've only been in this country for about 1 month, and I'm working hard to get them out there, available in some restaurants as well, but right now it's just directly from my website, and anybody can order directly off it.
Very cool.
And the Verdicchio, the second Verdicchio is the same producer, Tenuta del Ugolino. This one is designated Vigneto del Belluccio.
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 So
and
this is
a finer quality. It's a big step up. It was treated a little bit more seriously, not quite as fresh and as fruity as the first one. This is a 17, and this has a little bit more expression, a little richer body in the mouth.
The winemakers, Andrea and Matteo, they named the winery Tenuta del Ugolino after Andrea's grandfather. So this is really a story of three generations here. Belluccio, so this is a vineyard designate Verdicchio, and the vineyard is named Belluccio because grandfather always liked to organize dances, and a dance is a ballo in
right.
Italy.
Yeah.
And so they named this vineyard where they would have dances Belluccio. So this is the grandfather's former dance floor that is now a vineyard. And as Dan mentioned, this Verdicchio has been aged 1 year before they release it. So it's got some age on it. Very few white wines can age well. Verdicchio is one of them. And as they age, they become more Riesling-like.
Hmm.
And that flavor that I know Dan loves in Rieslings, that petrol note to it, which is due to a chemical called TDN, trimethyldihydronaphthalene, for those interested, TDN, starts to express itself in an aged Verdicchio. And so as you age it, the TDN is going to start showing more. And it's going to.
And that's one of the reasons why Verdicchio is so much more than just a single buy it, take it home, and drink it. If you can afford to lay it down for a year or two, it gives you that much more.
And again, they're saying Ver.
Verdicchio.
What kind of alcohol are we looking at on a lot of these Italian whites?
12.5 to 13.5. So
they're light.
So this is 13%.
Light, yeah. And 13.5 would be high for Verdicchio, but you need a little bit of alcohol in order for the wine to pick up some of that richness as it's aging. I'm a big fan of aged white wines. Lots of them. I like to age Sauvignon Blanc. I age Chenin Blanc. I mean, I'm, you know me. You got my designation down.
Yeah.
Lay it down. So, and we opened up a 2011 New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc the other day, and it was fine. It's good. Just green, that's all.
Well, and it's the acids in this wine, the tartaric acid and the other acids in these wines that allow them to age. This Verdicchio, the total acidity comes in at in the aged one just under 6. And in the first one we tasted, came in at about 5.8. So the acid's up there,
plenty
which
of acid.
Allows it to age.
If you're tired of some of the sweet wines that we're seeing come into this market, Verdicchio and other Italian white wines are your answer because they're typically dry.
Residual sugar on these is 1 to 3.
That's low.
That's very, very low.
Very low.
Yeah. All right. What else you got there, sir?
So, moving you farther south in the Marquet region, we're going to expose you to this beautiful white varietal called Passerina. That is the name of the grape. This is from a producer called Madonna Bruna. They are located right on the coast, literally about 2 miles away from the shoreline, right outside a little town called Porto San Giorgio. Beautiful little seaside town. And father-son team, again, a story of three generations where the grandfather purchased the property. The father planted the first vineyards, and now the son is the winemaker. Paolo and Carlo Petracci at Madonna Bruna.
My wife, Julianne, and I took a tour of Italy about 5 years ago, doing nothing but going on the back roads. And we just drove the back roads and stopped wherever it looked like a winery. And it was so much fun. You get to meet some people who are completely unpretentious. You taste some local wines, some of which you never saw before and you'll never see again. It's a lot of fun to go the back roads of Italy. And this is one of the reasons Don has such a good time in his career, because he's able to find all these little places in places he'd never heard of before.
And when you took that trip, did a lot of these small-town wine people speak any English?
Or no, and that was the sad thing, is I don't speak any Italian. I mean, you know, you say dove, it's where is, and they just point. But it's been fun to explore that. We went to the hill towns of Tuscany, several hill towns in Tuscany, San Gimignano and Siena and so forth. And it was really interesting, and the backcountry cafes are just delightful. You could talk about that all day long, I'm sure.
I can imagine how cool that would be.
And, you know, as you mentioned before, this is meant to go with food. And in the Marquet, it's a lot of seafood. Fabulous seafood. So these whites are just the perfect accompaniment with the seafood of the Marquet.
Beautiful. On the Adriatic again.
On the Adriatic side. Madonna Bruna Passerina.
That's fascinating. I don't know I've ever tasted anything quite like it.
Which one of, or how many of these would be close to what Americans think of white wine as a Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc or whatever?
We were talking about, Don and I were talking about that just a few minutes before the show started. It really, Chardonnay is Chardonnay. When they when they grow Chardonnay in Italy, they're growing Chardonnay for Chardonnay's sake, and it's not due to any regional interest. These varieties come across as unique. They don't compare to much else. If you wanted to make a comparison, maybe the Passerina would be a little bit like what?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Maybe Sauvignon Blanc, but it's not even a parallel. It's just an unusual aromatic. I love it. It's delicious wine.
And Steve, I get that question a lot, is, well, what is this wine like that I would know?
Yeah.
That's a tough question, because it's a totally different variety. It's a different grape. Until you try it, you wouldn't really be able to associate it with anything that we have here in Sonoma County. It's not really Sauvignon Blanc. It's not Chardonnay. But again, there's hundreds of these whites in Italy that aren't like anything that we have here.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable wine. What's the retail price on this Passerina?
The Passerina is $24.
That's just really terrific wine. And if you spent $24 for a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, you would get something of Sauvignon Blanc character. Here, you're getting what otherwise would be perceived as, well, gee, I don't know what it is, but it's fascinating. It's got all this wonderful spice component that you can't really put your finger on. It's almost as if somebody put 1% of muscat in it to give it some pizzazz, but it's not muscat. It doesn't smell like muscat.
No, this does. So this is 85% Passerina. This does have a small component of Fiano from the southern Italian region of Campania. So this winemaker does add a little bit of Fiano to it.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today our guest wine Italian wine importer, Don Cigazzola. And don't forget, we have, it's a podcast. You can go to calwinecountry.com or any other site where great podcasts are offered. And as Dan says,
subscribe now.
Don't forget to subscribe. Every episode is on as a podcast, so check it out. Okay, this is fascinating stuff. Don is here with four relatively new Italian white wines that he found on his travels. Explain how you find your wine.
So a few different ways, Steve. One way is I will call up my current producers and let them know I'm going into a new region. I'm looking for a particular wine and ask them if they have any friends, associates, acquaintances that they know that they think make great wine. So I'll get a recommendation. But one of my favorite ways is to go into one of the hilltop towns of Italy and find the centro, the center of town where there is the park bench. And sitting on the park bench are the old gentlemen. And I go up and introduce myself using my Italian. I'm conversational, not fluent, but I get by and introduce myself and ask them, who do they think makes the best wine in the area? And immediately a kerfuffle breaks out, and they start
arguing
and yelling, and almost come to fisticuffs. But they start spouting names, and I just write down the names, and I go knocking on doors and say, "Hey, I understand you make great wine." So before I've even met the family, I know I've got the park bench recommendation.
That is cool. Well, they argue a lot, not just about favorite wines, right?
There's passion. It's about passion.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to be passionate in life.
Amen to that, sir. And we're both Italian, so
yes,
we understand. It's CigazzolaMerchants.com, folks. He's here in Sonoma County and offers all sorts of different. You can browse the wines and find some really cool Italians that you're not Italian people, but Italian wines. Hey, look, there's Vinny, my cousin. fine Italian wines that you just can't get over here.
So this Pecorino is the wine that intrigues me the most, Don. What is Pecorino?
So again, that's cheese.
Italian cheese.
There is a sheep's cheese called Pecorino, but this Pecorino is not cheese. This white varietal, Pecorino, was nearly extinct in Italy, in the Marche, until about the 60s or 70. Then a couple of wine producers picked it up and demonstrated that it could be made into a fantastic white wine.
And Pecorino's the grape.
Pecorino is the grape.
Okay.
By the way, it got that name because it was known that this is the grape varietal that sheep herders would pick and eat as they were tending their herds of sheep.
Ah, there you go.
So that's where the name Pecorino came from. Now, this producer, again, Madonna Bruna, winemaker Carlo Petracci, and he calls this wine Marie. As I mentioned, the winery is located just a few miles from the coast. And Mare is the sea in Italian, and Mare is also what they refer to as the tides or the breaking of, you know, the waves over the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you taste this wine, you actually, that's the first wine I've ever tasted where I could say there's almost a salinity to this wine from the ocean.
It's also a kind of a marine aromatic, almost a sea air kind of a smell to it, which is really kind of fascinating. And it's based on the fact that there's lots of minerality in the mid palate and as well as the aroma. But the aftertaste is spicy. It's really interesting how much more aromatically the wine delivers in the finish than in the other wines. I think the same thing goes on with the second of the Verdicchios, but the difference is that the Verdicchio is a bigger and richer wine. This is a more aromatic wine with a little bit more personality of acidity.
Definitely a fuller body in this wine from the Passerina, from the same producer. But if you are having a seafood dinner, if you are eating fried seafood, if you're having shellfish, these are the wines that you would want to serve.
Oh, man.
And they work really well as well. And I don't want to recommend that people just buy them to cook with them. But think about putting a splash of some of this into your clams and clams. That sauce,
and the broth,
yeah, the broth becomes so much richer and aromatic. It's really fascinating.
Our L.A. web guy, Christopher DiMatteo, just texted me saying, "I love listening to Don. Viva il vino italiano."
Salute, Chris.
Well, if you haven't tasted one of these wines, you really need to try it one time for sure to see whether you're in league or in the same ballpark with this acidity, because this is really the yin yang. It's the acidity and the succulence that combine to make the wine so interesting with food.
And I never like comparing these wines to something here, but if you are a Chardonnay drinker, you will probably like this Pecorino.
Okay.
And if you are a Sauvignon Blanc drinker, you will like the Passerina.
So again, ChicazolaMerchants.com. Browse and find out all the amazing wines from Italy that Don has available.
I've always been fascinated with the fact that Italy never really got recognized for its white wines until very recently. Would you say probably the last 6 or 7 years?
Really?
Yeah, definitely in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They were really non-existent here. You know, the two most heavily imported wines from Italy are Chianti, historically Chianti, and the Fiascos, and now we're dating back 20 years ago. And at the time, I guess some Pinot Grigio made it over here, but it was not very high-quality Pinot Grigio. It was from flatlands and, high-volume, high-producers. And as Dan mentioned, it's not until recently that some of these really unique native Italian varietal whites are making it over here.
Interesting.
It's a new game for Italy, and it's going to be a while before the American consumer actually understands what's going on. But it's worth getting into because these wines are really, really delicious.
ChigazolaMerchants.com. Chigazola is spelled just like it sounds. There's no surprises in that one.
In this country.
In this country. Don, great to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Always great to be here, Steve.